Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the wonderful gift of your word that you give to us. And Father, we ask that as we look to your word this day, that you open hearts and minds, help us to see you more clearly, and what you have called us to be and to do. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Please stand in honor of God's word. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to rebuild a cathedral that had been severely damaged by the German bombs. As work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue of Jesus with outstretched arms, beneath which was the inscription, "Come unto me." They had particular difficulty trying to restore the hands, which had been completely destroyed. After much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing and change the inscription instead. When they were finished, it read, "Christ has no hands but ours." And how true that is. The Lord has given us spiritual gifts to use to do his work as the body of Christ. You and I are his hands, his feet, and his voice in the world. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Dr. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ tells this story of a famous oil field called Yates Pool. During the Depression, this field was a sheep ranch owned by a man named Yates. Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough money on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage. So he was in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for clothes or food, his family, like many others, had to live on government subsidy. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, he was no doubt greatly troubled about how he would pay his bills. Then a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told him there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract. At 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential flow of 125 barrels a day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he had received the oil and mineral rights, yet he had been living on government relief, a multimillionaire living on poverty. The problem, he didn't know the oil was there, even though he owned it. The man lived in poverty because he didn't realize the gifts that were his to claim as his own. And there are many Christians who live in spiritual poverty, not realizing that the Lord has gifted them through the Holy Spirit. If we were to describe these gifts that the Apostle Paul talks about in this book to the Corinthians, we can see that there are varieties. The Lord has varieties of gifts. We're not given the same gift in the same way. There is the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. The book of Ephesians talks about prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And in Romans, it talks about serving, teaching, giving, leadership, mercy. All of these are gifts. And it's not a comprehensive list. There are a variety of gifts that the Lord has given. Secondly, if we were to describe these gifts, we can see that they're individually given as the Lord sees fit. Not everyone is the same. One body, many parts, each according to his or her ability. We are not all given certain gifts. It would be a really boring world if we all were gifted the same way, but we're all gifted differently. And thirdly, each gift is significant. There's a story of a little boy who wanted to try out for a school play. And his mother was kind of concerned that he might not get a part. And so when he came home from school that day, his mother was anxious to find out if he got a part in the play. The boy excitedly said, "Yes, I was chosen to clap and cheer." See, the little boy didn't get the part in the play, but his part was just as significant. If you have a play and no audience, you might as well not have a play. And so each gift is significant. Even though we may see something as being such a little thing to do, those gifts are significant. And then why are these gifts given? First, to edify and equip the body of Christ that we may grow strong in Jesus Christ and we may be able to do his ministry. These gifts just aren't given for no reason at all. They're given to edify and to build up the body of Christ so that we can do ministry. In Witnesses of a Third Way, A Fresh Look at Evangelism, Robert Neff shares this story about visiting a church service. It was one of those mornings when the tenor didn't get out of bed on the right side. He said, "As I listened to his faltering voice, I looked around. People were pulling out hymnals to locate the hymn being sung by the soloist. By the second verse, the congregation had joined the soloist in the hymn. By the third verse, the tenor was beginning to find his range. By the fourth verse, it was beautiful. And on the fifth verse, the congregation pulled back and became absolutely silent, and the tenor sang the most beautiful solo of his life." That is life in the body of Christ. We are called to enable one another to sing the tune of Christ that he has given to us. And those are different tunes, but we're called to sing that tune that Christ has given to each one of us and to help one another to build the gift up that he has given to us. And secondly, the gifts are given to exalt Christ. They aren't about us. It's not about, look at how good I can do this. It's all about Jesus. 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So you may be asking, well, what are my spiritual gifts? When you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, he has placed his Holy Spirit within you. And because his Holy Spirit lives within you, you've got a gift. You are gifted. Don't ever think, well, not much I can do. Can't sing in the choir. Well, that's all right. I know some people wouldn't be good if you sang in the choir. That's okay, but you might be the greatest person that has a gift of mercy for people that are really hurting. Or, you know, you may not be very good working with your hands and building. You know, we leave that to Norm. That's who we want to have that gift. I mean, some of us, we don't want to put a hammer in our hands. But you may be really good at organizing things. Everybody has a gift that has been given to us. When you say yes to Jesus, and do you have any tissues up in that choir loft? My eye contact's running. So if you're unsure of what gift you have, ask the Lord. He'll show you. Yesterday we were doing church officer training here, and Rick Warren, one of the things he said was one of the most powerful, scary prayers to pray is, use me. Because God will use you. And he will show you exactly what gift you have for his glory. And I don't care if you're 75, if you're 90, if you're 10, if you're 12. Every single person in the church has a gift and needs to be using that gift. There's no retirement. Do you get it? I don't want to hear, well, you know, I'm too old to serve as an elder, or I'm too old to serve on this or that. Or, you know what? In the Bible, Moses was old. Remember? There's no retirement in the Christian life. You may try that, but it doesn't work. God can use you, even if you're in a nursing home. God can use your gift of praying for other people. Every single one of us has a purpose and a gift to be used in the kingdom of God. Bob Russell shares the story that during World War II, England needed to increase its production of coal, and Churchill called together labor leaders to get their support. And at the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their mind a parade at the end of the war that would take place in Piccadilly Circus. First, he said, would come the sailors who kept the vital seas links open. Then would come the soldiers who had come from Dunkirk, then went on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots who had driven the German planes from the skies. Last of all, Churchill said, would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miner's caps. Someone would cry from the crowd as they passed by, where were you during the critical days of our struggle? And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the call. Not all jobs in the church are glamorous or prominent, but it is often the people with their faces to the call, who helped the church accomplish its mission. Every single job is necessary. One of the things that Rick Warren had said on his tape that we had showed yesterday was he had gone out into their sanctuary. Now, you need to know Saddleback Church is humongous. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of people. So it's not a sanctuary like this. We're talking auditorium, you know, size. And he went out there and he heard this motor. He thought, what on earth is that noise? And he looked around and he saw one man out there. And you know what he had in his hand? A battery-operated pencil sharpener. And he was out there getting all the pencils in the pews, which he said were over thousands of those pencils, and sharpening all the pencils. Now, you may think that's, so what? He says, but you know what? Those pencils are needed so that if someone commits their life to Christ and they sign a card, they need that pencil there in the pew. If somebody wants to take notes during the sermon, they need that pencil there in the pew. If somebody has a prayer request, they need that pencil in the pew. And here was this man down on his hands and knees going from pew to pew, seat to seat, to sharpen thousands of pencils. A little task, but what a necessary task in the bigger picture. So remember that even the smallest thing that you do for the sake of Jesus Christ can make an eternal difference. There's a wonderful contemporary Christian song that was out years and years ago, and it was entitled, We Are His Hands. And it goes like this, we are his hands, we are his feet, we are his people, children of the Lord. We share the hope, we share the dream, believers in Jesus, children of the King. His Spirit lives within us, flowing like a river, filling us with strength so that we can reach out for our brother, help one another. We are his hands, we are his feet, children of the Lord. We share the hope, we share the dream, believers in Jesus, children of the King. Some of us build, some are teachers, some can sing like angels, but all of us can love like he loved, pure and simple, so warm and gentle. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his people, children of the Lord. We share the hope, we share the dream, believing in Jesus, children of the King. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you, that you have gifted us, Lord. And we ask that you help each of us to discover those gifts that you have given to us and to use them fully for your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to build one another up with the gifts that we have been given, that we may exalt Christ Jesus in all that we do. We thank you and we praise you, Heavenly Father, and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we do have a healing service. If there's anyone who would like to come forward for anointing and healing, please do so at this time.